Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This David Barton guy is with us again today, and we're going to have us a time in the Word. I'm telling you, God is just pouring Himself and His glory out on this earth right now. That's the reason you're seeing so much demonic activity and drastic thing. People are crossing lines that our generation and we've never seen wholesale beheadings and crucifying Christians and what you're not seeing on the news media that needs to be reported more is the amount of a brutal, brutal persecution against Christians that rivals what happened in the days of Rome.
They say that the number of Christians that have been martyred so far in this century, 15 years, is more than all that have been martyred in the previous 20 centuries.
So think about
in 15 years, more Christians put to death for their faith than since the time of Christ.
Now, there's reason for that. It's not just because somebody got mad at Christians. The devil is at the heart of this. He's always at the heart of it. And the church is always at the heart of it. So what's happening here? Well, it's simple. We have a generation of people that goes back. Oh, really? Got really underway and got started good in 1900 and the whole 20th century, yeah. And now we're into this time of great spiritual things are happening. Mm-hmm. We have been called extremists. Come down on us hard for being extremists. Well, what's at the core of that? We take the words of Jesus, and we do everything in our power. We give ourselves totally to His Word, and all of our strength, all of our lives, all of our finances, everything we have, we do our best to obey His Word and do what the red words say. Now, extreme Islam is doing the very same thing with all their energy, all their might, all their finances, to bring the words of Muhammad to pass, exactly like they're written. And that's what you're seeing. And of course, like I said, Satan is behind that. Yeah. He's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Yeah. So we are in this extreme generation. Everything is going to the extreme. But you need to read the back of the book, We Win. And we're in the process of winning now. And we're like Elisha told Gehazi. He said, there's more of us than there is of them. Always.
And even when Elijah got down, God says, I got 7,000 guys that you don't even
know about.
Elijah thinks he's the only one left.
Now, I don't want to be left out of this, man. I want in on everything God is doing, because that's where the life is. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, we've been talking about, if you have something in your life that's, I don't know, it's just easy for you to do. It just comes easy to you. Maybe you say, well, you know, I'm mechanical minded. I mean, I enjoy putting things together, and it's just easy for me to do. I just have a musical ear. Just seems like I just know how to, I don't even know how. I just know how to play an instrument. It just doesn't come hard for me. And a person says, "Boy, I tell you, I do not want to stand up and before people. I don't want to do or say anything. I don't want to do that." But there's somebody else that I'll do it. Oh man, I want to do that. It's not just I've been that way all my life. It wasn't just because I wanted the spotlight. I just wound up in it because that's what I want. And what are we talking about? We're talking about graces. We're talking about graces that God has put in your life. You take that grace away and you can't do anything. Don't get the ideas because you or me is just, you know, we just kind of cute and we just kind of smart. No. People have used those graces for their own purposes and miss God and die young and all that, which I like to have done before my mama prayed me into the kingdom. Now, when you get born again, those graces begin to grow. Mm-hmm. And new graces will begin to come manifest in your life. Then you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Ah, man, they get stronger in your life. And then you get a little older and you're doing what God's telling you to do and you're obeying God and it seems like and then you run across the scripture that says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Woo, David, at 78, I realized a lot more graces in my life. That doesn't mean I didn't have to study. This doesn't mean that you study to show yourself approved. Right. But the big thing is, I'm yours to command, sir. I'll do it. I'll go. Whatever you say, I'm your man. I'll go. Mm-hmm. And like Oral said, he said, "Ken, if you'll do these three things, you'll always be a success in God. Number one, find out the perfect will of God. Once you know the will of God, don't confer with flesh and blood any longer. Number three, get your job done at any cost." Mm-hmm. Well, Gloria and I, we took communion over that, and that's what we still do today, 48 years later. It's always produced. What I'm saying is, you keep doing that, it gets better and stronger. Yeah. And now this new increase and new assignment in the healing ministry and the healing anointings and believing God for miracles and being there for God wherever He wants us to be. Suddenly, things that I've been believing for in my physical body for years, they just came around, particularly in the last 30 days. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. What's happening is grace.
Yeah.
Now, I said all that to get to say this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's talking about the glory. And that's what we're talking about, manifestations of His glory. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now, when did that take place? When you got born again, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the light of the glorious gospel, verse 4, lest the light of the glory that's in the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto us or shine unto them. Now, He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, that the manifestation of His power may be of God, not us. David, Father, we by faith receive manifestation of the light of the knowledge of the glory that is in us as born again believers now. We are born of the light, the scripture says. We are children of the light. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and we put on the armor of light. That's all the glory of God. And we can have the knowledge of it. I don't care if you are 78 years old. I don't care where you are. Whatever He's calling us to do, The glory is there to do it, and we can have the knowledge of it, and it don't care what it takes. You 120 like Moses was, glory to God.
Back not bent, eye not dimmed, still trucking on the promised land.
And God fully intended for him to go fight those battles.
Yeah.
If Moses hadn't disobeyed him and fouled up like he did, Joshua would have still been following him across the Jordan.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. The thing with grace is one of the things that I think is part of this visitation of God and where we are right now that He's doing across the world is people have to learn to recognize their grace. Because this is, you know, this guy's inclined to speak. This guy always been interested in art. This guy, and there's a lot of grace. There, the scripture we've talked about earlier that talks about how the Lord gives you the desires of your heart. And there's one group out there that says, well, if you'll, you know, whatever you desire, if you'll just focus on that, fix on that, and pray to God for that, He'll finally give it to you. That's one view. But the other view is whatever the desires in your heart are, see them as having come from God. You know, I've always wanted to do this or that. Well, nurture that grace. That's a grace that, I remember
David,
talking.
David, I believe that with all my heart.
See, I talked to a kid that was in a Bible college, a really evangelical Bible college, and I was talking to him about this thing of, look, God's put something in you that He wants you to do, and you don't let other people define that for you. Because so many things happen in the Bible, other people said, whoa, you can't do it. Wait, David, you got to wear Saul's armor. You can't go out there without some kind of armor. Everybody's got a definition for what you ought to be doing. You need to figure out what God wants you doing to do that. And so this kid came to me afterwards. He said, do you know that there are 2 billion people a day in the world that play video games? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, since I was 4 years old, I've always dreamed of making video games that had a gospel message to it. But everybody in my church said, nah, you don't want to get in video games. You want to stay out of that stuff. That's not of God. He said, but I've always wanted to do video games for the world that had a Christian message to it. I said, follow your heart.
Oh,
follow
yeah.
your grace. Everybody else has got you in a box that says, no, we ain't Christians. We don't do those kind of video games. Well, God put it in your heart. You go do that. And so that grace that God gave, that desire that you've always had in your heart and everybody else told you, that's, we don't do that. No, you follow that. But there's some verbs that stood out to me as you were reading that passage out of 2 Corinthians. And that is you have to feed your grace because he's put a seed of it in there. But if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't do something to nurture it and help it grow, then it just stays that small little grace.
It takes faith.
You got a seed planted, but somebody's got to water it. Somebody's got to nurture it. Somebody's got to keep the weeds out. You got to chase the ravens off them. You got to pay attention to it. And you really got to grow that thing. And so you want to grow that grace. You actually want to feed that grace. I mean, you got to, once something's there, it's like you have an inclination that I've always wanted to play the violin. Do. But you may have to take some violin lessons along the way. That's part of feeding the grace. If that kid who wants to do the computer games, he's going to have to learn computer programming. That's all right. Mm-hmm. That's part of the grace. He's got to feed that grace. And so you want to feed it, you want to grow it, and you want to follow it. And when God puts something in your heart like that, it's part of this visitation that He wants to do on the whole earth. And you've got a role in that, and you've got to play a part of that. And this is one of the things that I think we really fight in the culture today. And this happens anytime you get into a secular culture, is you lose the concept of being an individual.
You see
yourself lost in the group.
Yeah,
and you're lost in the group,
You can start getting the idea, but,
who am I?
God's not paying any attention to me. Yes, He is.
Yeah. Well, He only calls individuals. He doesn't call groups. And so this mentality says, well, that's not me. There was something that a friend of mine really nailed me with one time out of Genesis 11. And he's a Jewish rabbi. I call him my rabbi because I call him for all sorts of stuff. He said, you Christians, when you get in the Tower of Babel, he said, you really kind of miss the point in that thing. He said in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, the way it starts, it says in verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city. And so the Lord ends up coming down in verse 5. So I got to see what this is all about. He says, you guys focus on the Tower of Babel. He said, you got to notice what started the Tower of Babel. What started the Tower of Babel is back up in verse 3. The first thing they said to themselves was, let us make bricks. And he said, that's what got God's attention first thing off. He said, why would he do that? Because bricks have a mold. You put a brick in a mold and you make everything according to the mold. God has living stones. There's no two stones out there alike. There's no two snowflakes alike.
And each one has a specific
design. Individual. Unique. He says, man comes along and says, let's all be the same. You need to be part of the group. We're going to make bricks. And so we do
this
that.
This is safe.
This is the first attempt at socialism, quite frankly.
Well, that's where it came from.
This is socialism right there.
It was the birth of it, right?
We're all going to be bricks in the cog. We teach our education system in America now. We no longer look at individuals. We look at the class. We no longer care who you are as an individual. I got to know whether are you black? Are you Hispanic? No, you're Native American. No, wait a minute. You might be straight. No, you could be gay. No, you could be transgender. We got to know what group you're with before we know how to treat you. And God backs up and says, no, I don't care about the group. You're an individual, and this is what I've put in you. This is the grace I've given you. This is part of the manifestation I need for the whole earth, is the grace I've put in you. Be part of this. And so God's got us into it. We get lost in this mentality of, I'm part of the group, because that's the way we were raised in school.
Yeah.
We were part of the class. That's the way we're treated in church. That's the way we get taxed. I got to know what group you're from before I know how much I should tax you. I don't even know. And by the way, I need hate crimes to protect particular. I don't want to protect all individuals. I just want to protect groups. So we're into this mentality of group stuff. And as a result, it limits us from hearing what God wants us to do, because I'm just an individual. Who am I? You know, I live out in a little country town. I can't do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we start putting these limits on ourselves. And we need to take that grace that He's put in us. We need to feed that grace. We need to grow that grace. We need to follow that grace. We need to hear from Him. My sheep hear My voice. If He's put a grace in your heart, some desire, man, follow that thing. Take it on. I don't care. You're 85 years old. You've been retired for however many years, but you've still got this desire. I've always wanted to do this. Do it. Do it. God's not really impressed with the years one way or the other, either young or old. That's a human thing that we get into years. I mean, it's just, so that grace thing, manifestation of the grace.
When people say you get older, your brain gets tired, and that's a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a scientific lie. When Dr. Caroline Leaf was on our broadcast, we did two sets of broadcasts with her. And science is now completely settled on the fact that the human brain is the only organ that gets better as it ages.
Keeps regenerating itself.
But you have to get out of chaos thinking order to do it.
Yeah.
You got to get out of fear, get out of hate,
get
in the book.
This will get you out of chaos thinking.
Oh, yes.
And this will keep you sharp of mind. It'll keep you. You know, and that's the other thing is, you want to stay sharp of mind, don't just get in here. Memorize this thing.
Yeah.
Start taking, Thy word have I hid in my heart. And we talk about how that if you meditate on the word, which is like a cow chewing its cud, you get in there and just chew on that thing and keep chewing. And that's part of memorizing. You get it up here and then you chew on it all day long. I'm starting out the day with memorizing the Bible verse, and I'm going to chew on that thing all day. I'm going to get all the nourishment out of that I can.
That is so good.
And so we've got to get a thing where it's not enough to read it. We got to start memorizing it, ingesting it, chewing on it, ruminating over it. And that keeps that brain going, man.
I was 69 years old. I just had my 69th birthday when I went to primary training on the initial training on the Citation 10, the most complex civilian airplane on the planet.
Yeah.
And the devil started worrying me about being old and all that. And I took a stand against him. And one of my very close friends gave me scripture that God gave him when he went through pre-med. And man, they loaded them up. But listen to this. Thou through Thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. His commandments are ever with me.
Was it Psalms 119 what?
119:98.
Get it.
Oh, what, 97. Oh, how I love Your law. Oh, how I love Your word. It's my meditation all day. Now, that's the key. That's what you just got through talking about.
Yep.
Now, I have more understanding than my teachers.
Yep.
for your testimonies or what your word says about me or my meditation, mm-hmm. and I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Yeah. In other words, God is still feeding new information
right.
if you'll open your heart
That's
to
right.
it. Amen.
That's right.
He can give you stuff. He can show you things that you're talking about having a desire to play the violin or learn a language or whatever it was. He can show you stuff nobody else
That's
knows
right.
about that, David.
That's right.
Because the glory is in you.
He's the best teacher. He's better
he
than any other teacher.
All.
And he puts it right there that if you'll meditate in my stuff, you'll learn faster than anybody else.
And Dwayne and I went through that 3 weeks of training, man. And the first two or three days, this young guy, about 25 years old, we came out of class one day and he said, Copeland, that's like drinking out of a fire hose, man. He said, he was just loading him up. I mean, David, I had the best training session I'd ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It was stronger. Mentally, I was stronger. At the end of that 3 weeks' time, all of simulator training and all of, and check rides and the whole thing. The thing of it, it really ministered to me because I saw that God brought all of that knowledge and all that grace mm-hmm. to fly. And mm-hmm. that grace to fly was in me when I first started. It was a desire of my heart, mm-hmm. and I was good at it. And I didn't know why. It was grace working in me.
And, you know, that's the other thing is people define grace by ministry. No, flying a plane, God gives you grace. Psalm 144, verse 1, God says, I give a grace to the soldier to teach his hands how to fight.
If that isn't it, I don't know a verse that describes it
that's
if that's
right.
not it. That's it right there.
I mean, the grace is the skill set that he gives you.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to fit the ministry of being a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. Those are all great graces. But there's graces out there for everything in the
Every
world.
Every member of the body of Christ.
That's right.
Every member has a plan, a place,
right.
and grace.
That's right.
And we're out of time. Oh, my goodness. Brother David and I will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.